of Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. And I'm your host, Evans Azininga. And today on Live Talk, we are discussing Zimbabwe's bid to rejoin the Commonwealth. The Southern African nation was suspended from the Commonwealth in 2002 for 12 months as a result of violence that marred the presidential election. And a year later, in 2003, the Commonwealth decided to maintain Zimbabwe's suspension indefinitely. In reaction, then-President Robert Mugabe pulled Zimbabwe out of the Commonwealth Club of Nations. But first, a quick look at what is happening here in the U.S. South Texas remains one of the top destinations for migrants under 18 who enter the United States without documents or adult companions. While there has been a decrease in crossings during the 2024 fiscal year compared to prior years, the dangers these children face continues to be a cause for concern. Victor Hugo Castillo reports from McAllen, Texas.
The journey to the United States is perilous and frightening for any migrant, but even more so for children. Despite the risks, over 110,000 unaccompanied migrant minors traveling without a parent or responsible guardian were apprehended by U.S. Border Patrol agents during the 2024 fiscal year after crossing the southern border illegally. Once found, says Border Patrol spokesperson Christina Smallwood, the children received basic care.
Agents ensure that the minors are in good health. If they need medical attention, they receive it. Afterward, they are taken to a processing center.
More than half of those unaccompanied minors caught in 2024 were found in South Texas. The second largest number was found in Arizona, followed by California.
Sadly, here in the Rio Grande Valley sector, we've seen a high percentage of unaccompanied minors.
While there has been a decrease in the number of unaccompanied children caught at the border, the issue remains a pressing concern. Hector Silva, the director of Senda de Vida Migrant Shelters, worries over the dangers these minors face.
I understand there are many circumstances and situations, but don't abandon a child. Don't abandon your son or daughter.
Despite this plea, Silva cautions against quick judgment. While some parents already in the U.S. may send for their children to reunite as a family, others may have started the journey together but were separated due to unforeseen circumstances in Mexico.
Imagine a migrant family kidnapped, left penniless, stripped of everything, and then deciding to stay near the border.
In such situations, Silva points out, parents might find a way for their children to cross the border alone, despite the inherent dangers. The risks are substantial, warns Customs and Border Protection. In late October, Border Patrol agents rescued four children abandoned by a smuggler on a raft drifting in the Rio Grande River.
Don't take risks. Instead, apply legally through the CBP One app to enter the United States.
However, not all migrants qualify for legal entry into the United States. Faced with violence, poverty, and limited opportunities in their home countries, many are still willing to risk everything in pursuit of a better future. Victor Hugo Castillo for VOA News, McAllen, Texas.
And in Zimbabwe, cancer patients and advocates are urging authorities in Zimbabwe to ensure cancer centers have life-saving equipment needed to properly treat patients. Some patients say public hospitals do not have working machines to provide radiotherapy. Columbus Mavunga has more from Harare.
Fungai Munyeza, who lives in Zimbabwean capital Harare, says she was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2017. Munyeza says Zimbabwe's public hospitals did not have the equipment to treat her, and care in a private hospital was too expensive. So she sought treatment in South Africa, where she was declared cancer-free.
Because if I didn't have money, I would be gone. I would be gone, because the treatment is expensive. So I would say my survival is mostly on my positivity and also on the types of regimes that I received.
The Zimbabwe National Cancer Registry's latest report issued in October says of the more than 7,000 new cancer cases reported each year in 2018 and 2019, 1,000 patients died of the disease.
In terms of cancer deaths, the leading causes of mortality, according to the report, are cervix. So cervix was by far the leading cause of a cancer. This was followed by prostate, and then esophagus, then breast and liver.
The non-profit group, the Cancer Association of Zimbabwe, says most types of cancer are curable, but the report suggests patients are not getting treatment until the cancer has reached its final stages. Love Moore Makurirofa with the Cancer Association of Zimbabwe is calling on the government to do more to stem the rate of cancer deaths.
Also need a sustainable funding mechanism, a domestic funding mechanism that is very sustainable, which will make sure that cancer programs are implemented extensively in the same way HIV and AIDS activities are being implemented.
Munyeza says cancer treatment in private hospitals is more expensive than seeking it abroad. She says cancer patients end up going abroad for treatment if they do not have funds to seek medication in private hospitals. For those who cannot afford to seek treatment elsewhere, Munyeza says the outlook is grim.
Remember, in Zimbabwe, there are only two radiotherapy machines. And of the two radiotherapy machines, they are all down at the moment, one in Glue and one in Harare.
In a brief statement to VOA on Monday, the Zimbabwean Health Ministry said the radiotherapy centers in Zimbabwe are being resuscitated and will be functional soon. Muturi Ncube, Zimbabwe's finance minister, last year introduced sugar tax to raise funds to improve services for cancer patients. So far, that revenue has not yet been distributed for cancer treatment services. Meanwhile, Munyeza says she plans to travel to India for more testing to ensure she remains cancer-free. Columbus Mavunga, VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
And on that note, we will take a short break. Don't go away. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Now, recent reports are suggesting that President Emmerson Mnangagwa's efforts to get Zimbabwe back into the Commonwealth are being begged by the Commonwealth's outgoing Secretary General, Patricia Scotlands, who believes Mr. Mnangagwa has done enough to warrant Zimbabwe's return to the Commonwealth Club of Nations. But the opposition and rights defenders in Zimbabwe argue that repression and persecution of perceived opponents is now worse than under the Mugabe administration. Zimbabwe's last election raised concerns about its integrity, according to a report by Commonwealth observers. Despite this, outgoing Commonwealth Secretary General Scotland is pushing for Zimbabwe's readmission, citing remarkable in quotes, democratic progress. However, the report also acknowledges ongoing challenges, including political prisoners, repression of civil service, and restrictions on political activity. The Commonwealth members have been given a deadline of November 26, 2024, to submit their views on Zimbabwe's readmission. And if there are no objections, she said, she will invite Zimbabwe to make a formal application, and a decision will be made at the Commonwealth meeting in Antigua and Barbuda in 2026. Ghanaian Shelley Botchwey is the new Secretary General of the Commonwealth. She will be in office for 4 years, and the term is renewable once. To discuss this, we are joined by legal expert and ZANU-PF member, Mr. Masimba Mavaza, from the UK, and a political analyst and teaching professor at Tshwane University of Technology in South Africa, Professor Ricky Mukonza. Gentlemen, welcome to Live Talk.
Welcome. Good evening, Mr. Zinga. Good evening to Dr. Mavaza and the listeners.
Aha. Now, gentlemen, I want to believe we all saw the report that's circulating around from the Secretary General of the Commonwealth. Let me start with you, Mr. Mavaza. Did you see the report? And if you did, what do you make of it? Let's start from there.
The first thing is to say, actually, the Commonwealth did actually recognize and realize that Zimbabwe had done a lot of strides towards human rights issues, and we actually on top of the situation. So under the able capacity of President Emmerson Mnangagwa, Zimbabwe is not having problems with human rights issues anymore. So the report is actually a good reflection, even though there are concerns of one or two issues of people who have been arrested for criminal activities and then misrepresent the arrest as if it was a political arrest. We do not have political prisoners in Zimbabwe. We don't have prisons for political prisoners. We have criminals in prisons. So if anybody is arrested, regardless of his political beliefs or political party, he will be the cause of justice. The due cause of the law will take its course. So there is no way, therefore, anybody would want to benefit from their own criminal activities and then pretend to hide behind the finger, which is a defunct, dead opposition. We don't have an opposition in the first place. And therefore, those people who are now going up around saying that there is no democracy, there is no freedom of worship, freedom of speech, freedom of anything, they are just trying to pass threats to Zimbabwe. And I'm just trying to please whoever is sponsoring them. Zimbabwe has done well, and we actually say congratulations to President Mnangagwa. At least somebody who can recognize that Zimbabwe has gone very, very far in observing the human rights of its citizens.
Mm. There you go. Now, let me come to you, Vamukonza. Ndoda kuti tiuye tinzwe kuti the report that we've all seen and the comments that the good doctor here, Mavaza, has thrown in, what do you think of it? And let's get your opinion on that before we move on.
My time is Linga. I think I also saw the report, but I disagree respectfully with Dr. Mavaza that there has been any positive change in terms of how Zimbabwe has been conducting its business politically and in terms of issues to do with respect of human rights. I think in the recent past, let's start with the 2023 elections. It's a disputed election, and that does not augur well for the politics of Zimbabwe. And let's also see the issues of, activists, both from opposition political parties and from civil society who have been imprisoned
And others argue that unjustifiably so. Job Scala is a case in point. Jacob Ngarivume is a case in point. Namatai Kwekweza is another case. I can name them one by one, but the point is that I think the repressive political system that got Zimbabwe to be banned from the Commonwealth, or for Zimbabwe to, Zimbabwe to withdraw from the Commonwealth, I think still persist. Others even argue that things have worsened since the departure of Robert Mugabe. But I don't want to get into that argument. What I want to simply say is that I don't see any, you know, reasonable, I don't see any reasonable grounds on which the Commonwealth can argue that things have changed positively in Zimbabwe. What I would then argue could be the reason for the posture of Patricia Scotland is that I think the global politics have changed. We can see the way in which China is making inroads in many African countries and, you know, getting influence. I think that's part of the reason why the Commonwealth may, you know, be showing some kind of, you know, lenience towards Zimbabwe and wanting to absorb it back, not necessarily because Zimbabwe has changed in terms of the political situation.
Mm-hmm. That's we hear you loud and clear there, Prof. Let me come back to you, Dr. Mabaza, and then let us look at this. Remind us one more time, why did Zimbabwe pull out of the Commonwealth in the first place?
The Commonwealth was actually interfering in Zimbabwe's business during Robert Mugabe's time. They wanted us to reverse the land gain and the land redistribution program. And the president says, no, we are not to be forced to accept that decision. And again, Comrade Mugabe was saying, allow us to see our problems with our own lenses. Don't define human rights with your lenses. This is what was the problem. So Comrade Mugabe said, for you to threaten us to say, if you don't give back the land, we'll chuck you out of the Commonwealth. It will pull out. So now, the land issue has come and gone. People have accepted it. Even those who didn't like it, they've accepted it. The opposition, most of them, they've got funds from a program. So that issue is now over. And again, there is no need or there is no issue of human rights abuses in Zimbabwe anymore. Zimbabwe has become one of the most peaceful country in the world. And therefore, we do actually applaud and appreciate the recognition of such by Baroness Scotland. So, yes, the reason why we left was simply because the president at that time and the government then did not like to be told what to do, because it is our country. Way to do what we have to do. But now, everything has gone, the past is past, and there's no need now to remain outside. We must appreciate one thing in summary, that the world has become a global village. We have got so many benefits we get from being members of the Commonwealth, and we want to benefit that. It is not a benefit of the government. It's a benefit of each and every Zimbabwean. Our travel arrangements, if you're in the Commonwealth, it will be different from when you're out of the Commonwealth. And in any case, a group is more stronger than an individual. And that's why we want to belong to a group with a common purpose and working towards a commonwealth. And therefore, that's why we need to go back today.
Dr. Mabaza, before I go to Professor Mkonza, I need to bring you back to this reality. The then president of Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe, personally pulled Zimbabwe out of the Commonwealth in December 2003 without parliamentary approval. Now, going to try and go back into Commonwealth, where is Parliament standing on this? Remember, we have opposition, we have the ruling party. What's the position of the Parliament as we speak today?
the president actually withdrew Zimbabwe from Commonwealth on cabinet approval, not parliament, yes, but the cabinet was away. As of now, every right-minded Zimbabwean in parliament and outside parliament are all on one way to say we need to go back to the Commonwealth, because we have to be together, we have to be a team. United we stand, divided we fall. So we cannot be divided from the rest of our peers in the Commonwealth, and therefore it will be an advantage to do so. So in other words, yes, we pulled ourselves out, and we should have been allowed to pull ourselves back in. But however, we had to follow the procedures where there were conditions given on Zimbabwe, and we could have seriously followed and done it very well. And that's why we are actually applauding the approval and the acceptance by Baroness Scotland that we have really done more than what anybody had expected from Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving to the professor there, Prof. Mkonza, do you think it was a wise move by the Zimbabwe government then to pull out of Commonwealth?
I do not think it was a wise move. It was an emotional move, an egoistic move by the then president, Robert Mugabe. He wanted to show his characteristic macho man, character. That I can go it alone if I don't get it my way. What Zimbabwe should have done at the time for me is to sit down and say, what are the issues being raised? And we know the issues that were being raised were related to the chaotic land reform program, issues to do with this disputed land elections of 2002, the violence accompanying that election and intimidation and so forth. So for me, I think President Mugabe acted emotionally and to the detriment of the many Zimbabweans that are out there who were meant to benefit from some of the programs that the Commonwealth comes with. If I may just share with your listeners some of the benefits that come with being part of the Commonwealth. It comes with increased foreign investment. It comes with access to Commonwealth markets. It comes with development assistance. And there are also other political benefits such as enhanced cooperation, support for democratic reforms, and improved international relations and so forth. So Mugabe, for me, acted, selfishly and in a manner that gives him that posture that he is a big man. In politics, we talk about big manism, and that's what we saw Mugabe demonstrating at the time. But that really worked to the detriment of Zimbabwe as a country and to the generality of the population of Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Let me come back to you, Vamaraza, ndoda kuti tibate nyaya iyi zvakanaka. I was pointing down in ndichinyora my notes when Professor Mkonza was raising names of people that have been arrested on political grounds in Zimbabwe. He dropped names, vana vasikala, vana vamafume, kunana Jameson Timba izvezvi vachirimo, and the Avondale 30 plus nyaya dzacho hadzisi kupera, vachibaya tazonzwa kuti nhasi vapiwawo bail, nyaya dzacho dziri kungoenda ikoko ku politics. Now my question to you is, with all these things that we see with our eyes, and although people choose to act like they don't see them, do you think this is a good enough picture to say the Commonwealth will gladly accept Zimbabwe to come back?
The point we need to appreciate is that in Zimbabwe, we don't have a crime called a political crime, and therefore we do not have a political prisoner. The people who have been mentioned by Professor Mkonza, the Job Sikalas, the Timbers and others, they are not political prisoners. Job Duskala was a criminal who actually boasted that he had committed over 55 crimes and he has not been in prison yet. Yes, then his criminality was then cleared and he was acquitted, and but convicted on two counts, which they said he'd already served them by staying in there. So he's a convicted criminal. We can never say that he's an abused person. He's not a victim. He's actually an abuser of the system. And that's so with the Timbers. The Timbers, they've broken the laws of the country, not a political law. We do not rely on any political law. There is no political law in Zimbabwe which will cause anybody to be arrested, because our laws do not appreciate a political biasness. So people who have been arrested, people who are waiting in prisons for trials, there's nothing to do with politics. They might be politicians, but their crime remains a crime. So this shows us that Zimbabwe can actually deal with you fully, even if you're a politician. If you commit a crime, you will be arrested. No excuses.
Mm-hmm. Professor Mkonza, would you like to respond to that? And considering the fact that attempts to readmit Zimbabwe have failed in the past into the Commonwealth?
Oh, yes. My brother and I'm a respectable brother, Dr. Masimba Mawaza. I know he also supports ZANU-PF, and therefore do what he's doing and say what he's saying. But the truth of the matter, Mr. Zminga, is that we do have people who are being persecuted on political grounds, and the names that I've mentioned, I still maintain them. If you look at their cases and how they are denied bail, you would not differ with me in terms of how they are being persecuted, and how the legal system also is being used to ensure that these people do not get bail and do not get the basic freedoms that they are supposed to enjoy in a democratic system. Now, I will also reiterate what I said earlier on. Given what is obtaining in Zimbabwe from the disputed elections in 2023 to the political persecution that we are seeing of both opposition political party activists and leaders, and also activists from civil society, I don't see any reason or any logical reason why there should be any consideration for the readmission of Zimbabwe to the Commonwealth. I think Zimbabwe still has to do more in terms of political reforms for it to be admitted.
Uh-huh. Let's hold it there, Professor Mkonza. Vamalaza, let's close the show with one last question for you. In a nutshell, quickly, do you think by bringing the next secretary from Ghana to be in charge of Commonwealth will work in the favor of Zimbabwe in any way?
No, Zimbabwe is not looking for favors, for fairness. It's looking for just and just cause. And therefore, anybody from anywhere expects them to be fair and to be just on our cause. And therefore, it does not matter where the person is coming from. We expect people to look at what we have done and why we should be readmitted, because we have done the best we could. And definitely we look forward to the readmission.
Uh-huh. And that brings us to the end of the show today. Let's thank our guest again, Mr. Masimba Mawaza in UK, and political analyst, teaching professor in South Africa, Professor Ricky Mkonza. To our viewers and listeners, thank you for being on the show. We will be back again on Monday. Signing off in Washington, D.C., I am Evans Zininga.